was really special. I really enjoyed those videos. When they were coming in, I just had a lot of fun just watching them and then putting them in and just kind of doing that. Thank you so much for doing that and for just making today special in a different way. And that's what life is about, is finding ways to overcome the difficult things in our life and the discouraging things in our life and to be an encouragement to other people. So what you did was definitely an encouragement to me and probably to those of us watching today. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. It is Easter Sunday, and we just want to remind you today of just how special today is. And as I was thinking about that, I just kind of put this thought down. What makes Easter special? Now, we're going to look at that biblically. But before we do, most of you that know me know I like to have a little bit of fun with stuff. And so before we look at what makes Easter special biblically, let's look at the realistic side of, you know, the day Easter for so many people, some of the things that make it special for them. Because if you think about it, today, all across our country, you know, some people are defying orders to stay at home because they want to be in church on Easter. And it just seems different to them. It's hard not to be in church on Easter Sunday. But as we look at this, let's think about some things that make Easter special and what got some people excited. First of all, baskets of candy. If you don't think baskets of candy make Easter special for some people, you did not see little boys and girls rolling out of bed this morning, racing around to wherever the living room or kitchen or wherever their basket was, looking to see how much candy they had left there. Matter of fact, several years ago, I had mentioned in church service one time that I like the hollow chocolate Easter bunnies. And we still have a family in the church that has got me, ever since that time, they've got me a hollow chocolate Easter bunny. And usually one of previous size, and most of you know that because I post it on Facebook each year. And we're going through all this social distancing, and they have assured me that I will still get my hollow chocolate Easter bunny. So I'm excited about that. So again, just having a little bit of fun. One of the things that makes Easter special, people look forward to it. When I was a kid, I didn't get out of bed and go, oh boy, this is Resurrection Sunday. I got out of bed and said, you know what? I want my candy. And so that's what I was excited about. Here's something that might bring some people a smile. Easter outfits. You know, one of the things that makes Easter special is ladies get to go shopping. Sometimes guys get to go shopping. And they're looking for a new Easter outfit. Now, I know that all the department stores were definitely devastated because there was no Easter sales on all the outfits because nobody had anywhere to go show them off. And so we definitely might need a redo on Easter, so we'll have somewhere to show off all of those wonderful Easter outfits. I used to always pick on our church and ask our ladies to wear a big old hat on Easter, and rarely have we ever had anyone actually follow up and do that. So again, just having fun, a couple of things that make Easter special. Easter baskets full of candy and Easter outfits. But another thing is tradition. And there's people that hold Easter traditions. You know what you're going to do on Easter. You're probably going to have a meal with somebody that's family. You're going to have an Easter egg hunt. There's people that's going to go to church on Easter. If they don't go any other time of year, they're going to go on Easter. You know why they do that? It's their tradition. Now, even churches have our tradition. One of the things that I am greatly missing right now is that every Easter, our church would sing a hymn called Up From the Grave He Arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. And we just have a lot of fun with that song because it hits some high notes that we can't really hit, but we just do it anyway. And for years, that's been one of our traditions. And so these are things that help to make the day special. But really and truly, we know that that's not the things that make Easter Sunday special. But we're able to get back to the basics now. Because this situation that has taken hold of our country has done something. It's taken away our Easter outfits, and it probably didn't take away the Easter candy, but it's taken away some of our traditions. And so it makes us take a good, hard look at Easter and say, you know, why is this day special to me? Why does it bother me that I'm not able to actually be in church today and worship the same way that I normally do? It's because it is a special day. Matter of fact, it is the celebration of the birth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason I got tripped up is because I was going to say Easter is one of two of the main holidays on a Christian calendar. Christians celebrate two main holidays every year. Christmas. Now, everyone celebrates Christmas, but Christians celebrate Christmas in a biblical aspect as well. And we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, what is it that we celebrate at Easter? And a lot of you are wanting to say the death of Jesus Christ, but that's not true. At Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is not the fact that we have a Savior that has died. It is the truth that we have a Savior that has risen out of the grave and He lives today. And I want to talk to you about what that means as we look at that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 14, it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." The fact that Jesus Christ being raised from the dead is the very core of a Christian belief. And here's why that is. The author of Paul here, he actually makes a statement. He says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. And that means that everything that a Christian holds true and dear is pointless, it's empty, it means nothing if Jesus Christ is not alive today. Jesus of Nazareth is a person that lived. There's historical data. I mean, it's not a Bible story. It is historical fact that Jesus of Nazareth lived. He is called Jesus the Christ. Christ meaning the Messiah. Talking about going to the Old Testament when God promised to send a person into this world who would deliver us from our sin. He would pay the sin debt for us. And that term was Messiah. And that's another word for Christ. So it's Jesus the Christ. And a lot of people think that Jesus Christ, that Christ is his last name, but it's not. It's a title. And there's evidence that Jesus lived. There's also evidence that Jesus, there's documented evidence that Jesus died, that he was crucified. And this is not just from Christians. You can go into Roman literature and find this. But it's also documented that Jesus lived again. And as we look at that, that is the very core. Without Jesus living, we have nothing. Religion is nothing more than motivational speaking at best if Jesus doesn't live today. But how true could motivational speaking be if we're putting our hope in something that's not true? And today I want to show you a little more about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means for us. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So the Apostle Paul, this is one of the early New Testament church leaders. And Paul preaches about a Jesus who's no longer in the grave. I'm going to share a little bit about that as we get these next few verses. He goes on, he says, "By which ye also are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." I want to share with you something about that. This is, you know, we expect Christians to talk about Christ, and we expect Christians to talk about God. But I want you to understand who this Apostle Paul was and what changed his life. Why it's remarkable that Paul is going about preaching that Jesus is risen from the dead. It's because when we first meet Paul in the Bible, he goes by the name Saul. And Saul of Tarsus was a person that persecuted Christians. He was not anti-God at all. He was a devout Jewish leader. Paul was following God according to the Jewish law at that time. And Jesus came and he died and he was buried and rose again, and people were called Christians because they followed Jesus. In other words, they were following the teaching of Jesus Christ. They were proclaiming that he had raised from the dead, that he was still living. And Paul thought it was a threat to his Jewish religion. He thought it was a threat to God. And in service, what he thought was a service to God, Paul went about and he did everything he could to get Christians to stop spreading this message. And he went as far as being deputized, going into cities, and he would have people arrested. He would actually have people persecuted and tortured. He would even have people stoned and put to death. Paul had that kind of authority to do that. And in fact, we read about Saul when we first kind of find him in the Bible. He is standing there with the authority and watching a Christian named Stephen being stoned to death. And Saul was one that hated Christianity. He hated the idea that people were preaching that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, did you notice that in this letter he's writing to the Corinthians, he said, "This is the message that I preached unto you, the message that you received and that has saved you. It's the message that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again." What changed in Paul's life? Well, Paul was on his way to Damascus, and that's the city he was going to. He had authority papers in his hand, warrants, if you would, to arrest anybody that was spreading the message that Jesus had been risen again. On his way into that city, he has an encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. He sees a bright light from heaven. He hears a voice, and the voice is the voice of Jesus. He recognizes, he asks him who he is, and Jesus lets him know, "I am the one that you are persecuting." And he was persecuting Jesus by persecuting Christians. And Paul then immediately repents. Now, repentance is not a word that says, "I'm sorry for doing something." Repent means we have a change of mind, and it results in a change of behavior. And that day on that road, when Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ, he did something. He completely changed. And he asked Jesus what he would have him to do. And from that point forward, Paul began to go out. Instead of arresting Christians and throwing Christians in prison, he goes out and he starts preaching the same message that they preached. That Jesus of Nazareth had died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later had rose again. What changed Paul's life? It was an encounter with Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. So Paul is a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What can Easter do for you? What is it that Easter can do in your life? The knowledge that Jesus is risen again. There's so many things. I'll start back over at verse number 3. Paul said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12. If you understand what's happening is, after Jesus rose from the dead, eyewitnesses saw him. It's not blind faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. There's documentation. There's people that had actually witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. And so you say, so a few people that followed him says that they saw him. Let's go on and see in verse number 6. "After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." The term "fallen asleep" meaning died. At the time Paul was writing this, he was saying there was 500 people at one time that saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection. And some of them were still alive at that time. And what Paul was saying was there's really sound evidence for believing that Jesus has risen from the grave. But as we continue to look at that, notice in verse number 7, "After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also," talking about Paul, his encounter, "as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." You see, Paul goes back to what he was before he was a Christian. Before he had his encounter with Jesus Christ, Paul goes back and he says, I'm not worthy to be a Christian. I'm not worthy to be a person serving God, because before I was, I persecuted the church. Paul looks back and he knows that he was saved by grace, that God didn't have to save him, that he was really the devout enemy of Jesus, but yet Jesus in mercy saved him. It tells us that Jesus is willing to save anyone. Jesus is willing to save you. If you're saved today, if you're watching this because you are a Christian, because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, and like Paul, you had a change of mind about your life, about your behavior, and it changed your behavior, changed the way you live, then you could say like Paul, "I'm not worthy of this, but I'm saved by God's grace." Notice with me in verse number 10, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul says, I want you to understand something. I'm saved by grace. Grace means to be in the favor of God, but it's an undeserved favor. It's not a trade-off. It's not, "God, I'll do this if you'll do that." It's not that God says, "If you'll do good, I'll save you." Grace means we cannot deserve that, but God gave it to him. Notice what Paul did. Paul said, "I was a person that persecuted the church. did some really wicked things. Paul could go back in his mind and he could actually think about watching those people that died, watching the ones that suffered, watching the people, the families they tore apart. And he would think, I would not be worthy of God doing anything for me, but he forgave me. That's what salvation is. It's recognizing that we have sinned against God, but understanding that God is willing to forgive us. I want you to know that God is willing to forgive you. You can look at your life right there where you are and you start thinking immediately, look, I'm not like church people. I'm not like those people. I want you to know something. And church people weren't like church people before we were saved. And some of the people that's watching this, you know my life before I really become to the place where I serve God and really, really dedicated my life to Him. We weren't people that were just out doing everything right. Just like you, we have a past. But God forgave us, and He'll forgive you as well. The Bible says in verse number 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Paul's saying this message, the same message that changed my life, is a message that can change your life. But he says now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, in other words, if we're claiming that Christ is no longer in the grave, if we're claiming that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. In other words, if it's impossible, well, we know that people just can't come back, but God raised Jesus from the dead. It was God's plan all along to do that. But Paul says, if you can't believe that there's a resurrection, then you have to believe that Jesus is still in the grave somewhere. Notice what he says next. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. I want to say right now in the world that we're living in, the Bibles are being bought off of the shelves. Bookstores all around the world even are selling biblical literature at a high rate. One store in California has seen an increase of 143% in their sales of biblical literature and Bibles. Lifeway Christian Bookstores has seen a 62% increase over last year at the same time. It is because what's happening in our world, people are turning to God and they're turning to the Bible for answers. They want to know, is there hope, is there help out there? Maybe some of you are watching this today that you would not have been watching it if it had not been for the events of the pandemic that's taking lives. Every day, our culture, every day right now, we are confronted with death. Where the news used to turn it on months ago, you turned on the news and you heard a lot about Hollywood, you heard a lot about sports, you heard about different things. But right now, when you turn the news on, you're hearing numbers. Here's the amount of people that have died in the last 24 hours. Every day we're hearing that. And it's making us take a different look at death. And that's a hard thing for all of us to do because it reminds us that life is temporary, it's very short. And we do not know how much time we have. And so it's making people buy Bibles, get them off the shelves. It's making people pick up their Bibles. It's making Christians get back and to want to be in church and to want to turn on messages again. Why? Because there's a hope there. But understand this. If Jesus is still in the grave, then all our hope is in nothing. But the fact that He is risen from the dead changes everything. Paul went on to say in verse number 48, he's talking about a change that takes place in all of us. You see, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead means that God validated through His resurrection that Jesus is who He said He was. He said He was the Son of God. He said He was the one that came to forgive us of our sins. And this is how that plays out. You may ask yourself, how is it that a man dying 2,000 years ago, being put in a grave and rising again, has anything to do with my sin? It's like this. He came to pay the price. When Jesus died, He died in your place. You see, the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. And that just simply means that we have all violated the law of God. It doesn't worry about how often, it doesn't worry about how much, it just says that we all are, and we recognize that. But it goes on to say something else. There's a penalty for that. That penalty is death. And that death is not just to die once. It means to die spiritually, to be separated from God. And there's a wrath. There's a punishment for sin. And Jesus came and He took that punishment for you and He took it for me. And when he died on the cross, he was absorbing the wrath of God. He was absorbing the punishment that should have been taken out on you and on me. And when he rose again, he was being validated by God. God saying, I have accepted his substitute in your place. Someone died in your place. Right now, all around the world, we're seeing that people are having to help others. Well, there's a help that came from Jesus that's beyond anything else. He came and he rose again. But his resurrection means that there's a resurrection possible. You see, right now, as I already said, we're being confronted with death every single day of our life right now. We're confronted with death. And people want to know, is that the end? Is that all that it is? What's beyond that? What takes place beyond the last breath that a person breathes? And the Bible lets us know that there is life after that. For the Christian, there's life in heaven with God forever. And for those that are not saved, not forgiven by God because they haven't put their faith in Jesus Christ and changed, turned their life, the Bible talks about repentance. Again, a change of mind that changes our behavior. For those, it's eternity is separated from God in a place of torment. But notice what Paul said. Verse 48, he says, as is the earthy, and that's a strange word, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Paul's starting to talk about our bodies, and he's starting to let us know that after we're resurrected, we're going to have a new body. And I'm excited to kind of tell you about that here in verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, which simply means as we have had an earthly body, just as the one we have right now, and that earthly body is prone to sickness, is prone to sorrow, is prone to disease, is prone to death. He says, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly, a new body. When we die, we're going to receive a new body. Our body dies, our soul lives, our soul gets a new body that can inhabit the atmosphere, atmosphere is not the best word, but can live in heaven for all eternity. The Bible says in verse number 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. All he's saying is this body is not the body that can live in heaven, but God will give us a new body. And one of the ways he does that is through death. Our body dies, we receive a new body in him. That's the hope. How do we know that that's true? Because Jesus was resurrected in what we call a glorified body. A body that's different than this body. You know, there is something, as we watch people die, I watched my father die. I watched him struggle for his last breath, and I watched him take his last breath. In fact, through my years of pastoring, through my years growing up, I have watched a lot of people take that last breath. I have been with people that have the hope that there is life beyond that, and I've been with people that have not. I want you to know something, that there's life beyond that. That's what Paul's saying here. He says that there's this corruptible is going to take on an incorruption. And the moment that my father took his last breath, he received a body that never struggled for breath again. One of the hopes that Easter gives us is the resurrection, a new body. And to understand that whatever, right across America right now, people are haunted by the memories and the thoughts of their loved one dying in a room where they're not in. Knowing that they struggled to breathe, struggled to take that last breath, but for the Christian, I want you to understand something. That is not the image we have of them now. You may have watched someone that you love pass away. You watch their body get weak. You watch them deteriorate. And it's hard to not get that image out of your mind, but I want you to know something. The Christian understands because of Jesus, there is a new body. And they're not suffering, and they're not regretting, and they're not sorry. They're not sorrowful right now. They're not weeping. They're not struggling anymore. They're rejoicing in a body that lasts forever without sickness. And we're struggling and searching and desperate to find a cure, something that can slow down one virus here on earth. But I want you to know something. When we live in heaven, there's never going to be a single virus that will ever touch us, that will ever be a problem. That's what Easter can do for you. Easter gives you this hope, this joy. It's, when I say hope, it's not a hope that happens. It's a confidence. It's an assurance. Because Jesus came out of the grave in a glorified body, that we will do the same. That's the promise that he was giving us. He was our down payment. He was our example for us to put our faith in. Paul goes on and he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When he says sleep again, he's talking about death. The Bible makes it very clear that not all of us are going to die. Some of us are going to be here when Jesus comes back. Right now, Jesus is preparing a place for us. Right now, God has an appointed time when Jesus will return. And that is one of the reasons people have started opening up Bibles again, because they're wanting to know, is that about to happen right now? Well, I want you to know something. I don't believe that that's what's happening now. I believe right now God is getting the attention of people. And He's wanting people just like you to put your faith in Him. And He's wanting Christians to wake up. And He's wanting Christians to realize that what we have and our freedoms could be taken away. Right now, we're having church a lot different than we ever have before. Stop taking it for granted. And start living for God every single day. And start making every Sunday Resurrection Sunday. And notice what He says. We shall not all see. We're not all going to die, but one day we're going to receive a new body. And just like I spoke about my father and my father-in-law and others that have passed on, and a struggling body that deteriorated, they immediately received a new and glorified body. I want you to know something. If Jesus were to come back right now, those of us that are alive, that are Christians, He calls us up out of this world, and that's called the rapture. And when He does, we go to meet Him in the air, and immediately we also receive a new and a glorified body. So one of two ways God's going to give to you a new body if you're a Christian. If you belong to Him, one of two ways, through death or through the rapture. And both of them are assured to us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, we're going to be changed. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And when the dead is raised incorruptible, that means to never die again. No sickness, no sorrow. Some of the songs that we sing as Christians talks about never having a sickness, never having a sorrow. Right now, everyone is fearful. If someone coughs, everyone scatters. If someone continues to cough, their family, themselves, they become very scared. But in a glorified body, there'll never be another cough. I want to share something I know a lot of people will be excited about. There won't be any allergies in a glorified body. That's something to get excited about. But there will never be another death. Never be another funeral. And never be a need to say goodbye. Paul went on and said, for this corruptible, that means this body that is capable of dying, is vulnerable to sickness, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The hope, the confidence, the assurance of Easter is that God delivers us from death. Notice what he says. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, in other words, when this body has taken on the new glorified body, and this mortal body shall put on an immortal body, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And here's the famous statement, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us an assurance of a new body. Gives us an assurance that the grave is not the end. I want you to know something. Not only through the coronavirus, but through other diseases, through accidents, people are going to die every day. Right now we're seeing it in numbers that's just hard to ever grasp. And we're seeing it affect our medical field. We're seeing them break down because of how often, how frequent, and how helpless they are to face this death with people. But I also want you to know something. God gives life, eternal life. And that though we may put people in the ground because of death, God will raise them up again in a new and a glorified body, where we can also live with them forever and forever. But I also want you to know that people can choose to live their life their own way and say no to God. You can't use God as a good luck charm. You can't use Him as a magic genie to just pray every now and then and get Him to grant you wishes. He desires to be the Lord of your life. Surrender yourself to Him. You say, how do I do that? You start to learn the Bible and learn what God expects of you. You don't do the things that God says don't do. And you do what God says do. That's a simplified answer. But I promise you this. God gives assurance that He will not refuse forgiveness for you. And there is a peace that comes. There is an assurance inside, a newness. He puts life in us now. The Holy Spirit will come and live inside of you and give you a peace and assurance. He also promises that He'll provide for you. You know, there is a God, and He loves you. And He loves you enough that He's gotten you to pay attention to Him right now. He loves you enough that He's done what He's needed to do to get your attention. What He wants from you is your life. You to surrender yourself to Him. It's very simple. No magic words. You can pray any way you want to pray. There's no particular formula. But you can let Him know, God, right here, right now, I give you my life. And I don't know how to obey you right now. I don't know how to follow you. But I'll read your word and I'll start to listen to the sermons and I'll talk to people. And what I find that you want me to do, I'll do. And what I find you tell me not to do, I won't do. And when I don't understand, I will trust you. I'll tell you, you'll never get it perfect. But it's a great place to start. And God will receive you. This is a great day, Resurrection Sunday, a perfect time for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and give your heart and your life to Him. Let Him be your God and your Savior. I want to pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come today, I thank You for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's a lot of religions that have a God, but not one that came to this earth to die in our place, to forgive us of our sins, to pay our sin debt. And not gods that are able to lay down their life at death and raise it again. Lord, You are the only God that is true and real. And Jesus, You said You are the only way to God, the only truth, and the only life. Lord, I pray today for every person listening. We all have our fears and our anxieties because of the death that we're confronted with every day right now. God, I pray that You'd bring more peace and more assurance to Your Christians, to Your family, to Your children. I also pray that You'd bring hope and conviction to those that do not yet know You. I pray that today, Lord, someone will give their heart and their life to You, and that You would give to them the Holy Spirit, living and dwelling inside of them, that they might receive You. And Lord, change their life today. And God, just like You did for the Apostle Paul, give them a life of joy, even in the struggles. And God, I pray again for our country. We cannot neglect what's happening right now. God, it's not just our country, it's around this world. We need an answer. We need a solution. We need a cure. And I pray that You would send it. Until then, God, bring comfort and peace. And thank You again for Resurrection Sunday. I want to say Happy Easter to you. God bless.
Got it.